Please listen carefully.
And now, live from the Arboretum in McKinney, Texas, it's the Assuming Positions Podcast, with two hosts who are frantically trying to figure out the logistics of a unicycle built for two, Kevin and Mikey.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Assuming Positions Podcast. Kevin over here.
And Mikey over here.
Today on the podcast, it is the ultimate, not the penultimate, but the ultimate. The final episode of Head of the Apocalypse.
The series finale. Yes.
The Silent H. Head of the Apocalypse. This is one of our thought experiments where we build a team, we build a crew, and this is a crew that we want in our bunker at the end of the world.
Yes.
Not the fun ends of the world that they make shows and video games out of, like, you know, robot apocalypses and zombie apocalypses and robot zombie apocalypses and other things like that.
You're Left 4 Dead, you're Walking Dead, you're Day of the Dead, you're Dawn of the Dead, all those. Yes.
Yes. Just in time for spooky season.
Ooh, spooky, spooky.
Spooky season. So we have done so far, our list has been the Grizzled Vet, the gang member, the office worker, the nerd, the jock, the mechanic, and now today we are doing your first responder.
Yep, first person on the scene.
So we're talking police, fire, EMTs, people of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an important one. This is a good one. This is actually Walking Dead. That's the main character. He's a sheriff, right?
Rick Grimes, yeah. He was one of my alternates. I didn't end up picking him because, you know, the Walking Dead TV show is not really in my wheelhouse, but he's absolutely the archetype.
Yes. So that's kind of what we're looking at here. He's kind of the leader of that one, but not necessarily. It seems like we have lots of people to figure out who the leaders are. Or maybe are we doing the thing where we're in the bunker? So technically we're the leader.
It could either be we're the leader or we're the hapless civilian and we need, like, if we're going to make it through the apocalypse, we need to bond with this team so that we get to the end stage.
Yeah, because, I mean, I got a whole bunch of leaders on my list, so
it's
kind of be interesting to see who would probably be the Grizzled Vet because I picked Lee Marvin, so.
But also, are you going to tell MacGyver what to do? No, you're going to listen to what MacGyver tells you, so.
It's true. It's almost like a, you know what, the teams we pick, since we end up picking so many alpha characters, they kind of end up being kind of like a Star Trek crew. Because if you think about how Star Trek crews are, mm-hmm. they're all like the best.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're all have great leadership capabilities.
It's the role of the great boss. You surround yourself with good people and the job becomes easier.
Yes. And then everyone else wears red shirts. And
oh, red shirts. That just makes me think of Sam Rockwell in Galaxy Quest. That was the best example of red shirts. He's like, you're going to open the door? You don't even know if there's air out there. Oh, sorry.
Ensign Jacobson, check behind that rock.
Turns out there's something deadly. Glad I could help you guys out. See you later.
They need McCoy to be able to say he's dead, Jim. So
exactly.
That's what those guys are for.
We got 22 minutes to fill. Three of them are going to be with the red shirt guy.
All right. So first responder, I've been talking tons. So Mikey pulls out his two-headed die. What? What are you pointing at?
Oh, I'm flipping my coin.
Oh, you're flipping your coin. I thought you're pointing at something. But Mikey's flipping his coin that always comes up heads,
yes.
And I'm still suspicious of to this day.
Because it's imaginary, and you didn't even see me flip the coin. So it's going back in my pocket.
I thought you were just pointing at things like a maniac.
Oh, I do that too, but nope. It came up heads, which I called, and so I get to go first. So here we go. We're doing first responders. I will say right off the bat, this was probably the most difficult spot for me to fill because it is firemen, it is policemen, it is doctors, but really, like, how can you, I don't watch enough, I guess I don't watch enough TV and film to say, oh, that's my favorite fireman, or oh, that's my favorite policeman, but I did make some picks, so here we go. First one, this doesn't really apply, because it was so silly, but it popped in my head, so I have to talk about it. So
third picks are silly land always.
So here's as far weird as we're going to go. But for my first responder that I want on my zombie team for third pick is Jane Seymour as Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I know.
Well, I mean, technically,
yeah.
If something happens in town, the first person they go calling for is Dr. Quinn, yeah.
Okay, so here's the real fast justification for it in apocalypse terms. So if we assume zombie apocalypse or robot apocalypse, that's essentially end of the world, and we're kind of going back to, like, Wild West times, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's no, like, technology, there's no internet, there's no easy things. All our comforts of current life go away, and you are now back to cowboy times. Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, was like the boss in cowboy times. She's an official doctor. She's got her degree. She knows all about the human body. She comes from Boston, and they stick her in the Wild West, and she's great. It's the weirdest setup for this show is that she goes down to Colorado Springs is where the show takes place. And she's there for a visit, and her sister dies, and suddenly she has to take over her sister's family. It's like, guess what? You have kids now, and maybe a husband, and also you're the doctor for this town, so deal with it. That's kind of like an apocalyptic setting. It's like, you're with these group of people. Here's your situation. Hope you survive. Good job. Hope you get through the end of it. But Dr. Quinn does it because she can ride a horse. She can shoot a gun. She knows herbal medicine. She knows how to fashion a cattle fence. Like, she's a Wild West woman that can take care of herself. So just based on that, she's on my apocalypse team. But the main reason I bring this up for a silly third pick is because this is a throwback to just comfort growing up family TV. This was my mom's favorite show for a time.
Oh.
Yeah, this was 93 to 98. So this was like my mom's prime time, like, mom's watching her stories kind of thing. She was watching Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. And then my dad was on board because it was just Western enough for him to be like, oh, it's a Western, I can hang, you know, because that's totally dad mode. But I would never sought out Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman myself. But because my family was a huge fan of it, it is now part of my brain consciousness is that every time I see Jane Seymour, I'm like, Dr. Quinn!
Wait, you said it was from
93 to 98.
Ah, man, I would have put that earlier. The reason why I would have put that earlier is because 93 to 98 was when I was in college.
Okay.
And I watched the heck out of that show.
It's a great, like, I'm trying not to put it down, but yeah. No,
I don't know. Well, here's the thing is, so like you said, it does have, it isn't like a mom appeal show.
Yes.
No offense. I'm not saying that in an offensive way, but I know it's a show that my mother loved as well, but from 93 to 98 I was in college, so I was mostly not at home.
Oh, I got you.
So because a lot of, just like you, there's a lot of shows and things that I know about that I didn't really intend to know about just because my parents were into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on, or so you just, you know, you just stuck around.
Yeah.
And if you had told me, I would have said 100% that Dr. Quinn was one of those shows.
Yeah,
but I must have watched it on purpose because I have thoughts. I mean, when they switched Colleen from Erica Flores to Jessica Bowman, I really wasn't 100% on board with that.
I get you.
See, look at those. I know the names. Yeah. I didn't have to look. I know. So what is going on here? You're blowing my mind because if you said when was Dr. Quinn on, I would have been like, I don't know, like 88 to 92.
It definitely has that vibe, yeah.
But you're telling me it was, what was I doing? What was I doing? I'm like in college. I'm supposed to be like raising Hades and getting in all that. And I'm like, oh, Dr. Quinn's on.
It was a phenomenon. It had 6 seasons and 2 movies. I had no idea there were 2 movies.
Yeah. Man, why do I know about this show? Why was I home? You're blowing my mind, dude. Yeah. I'm like, I'm over here going like, why was I watching Dr. Quinn?
It was something for moms and dads. It was mom enough because it was a nurse helping people, and then it was dad enough because it was just enough of a Western. That's all I can do to explain it.
Man, I really don't know that. I can't explain it. I can't explain it. Wow, weird. What was I doing? I guess I was an art school kid. Does that explain it? Sure.
Sure. But it's also like it is a comfort food show in that it's kind of like a romance novel or a Western novel, depending on if it's your mom or your dad. But the thing about it, it does hinge a little bit on the it is of its time, in that it's like a woman can't be no doctor. She can't do no doctoring, you know, and that's sort of the setup for every episode. But the cool part about it is that she always comes through. She's always successful. Dr. Quinn rarely fails. So,
yeah.
That makes for a good show.
It does. It was a good show. I watched it on weird, man. I would have told you, because in my memory, it's like first, here's a good example. So Highway to Heaven, that show with Michael Landon in it. My mother loved that show. It was like her favorite. So, and the thing was, it's not really that bad of a show. It's what was well written, well acted. And it was one of those lesson shows, and it was 80s, and it was schmarmy. But because it was on, I'd sit there and watch it, and it was interesting enough that it would hold my attention, probably like you with Dr. Quinn. And then now, if I see a rerun of it, it is that comfort food. It's that, like, comforting thing. And, like, I caught myself there doing, like, a Highway to Heaven marathon over, like, around Christmas time at one point.
Oh, wow.
Sitting there watching, like, multiple episodes going, what am I doing?
You're pushing your happy button. It's just like, oh, this is TV from when I was a kid. I'm on board with all of it.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of TV when I was a kid.
Yeah.
My third pick. Okay. I don't know how I came up with it. Well, I kind of do know how I came up with it, but I'm sitting there doing research. I'm like, let me figure out, like, who's my favorite fireman? Who's my favorite cop? Who's my favorite med? You know, I was like, maybe I'll pick one of each as a three, and then I'll figure out which is the one. So I'm like, like you were saying, it's kind of hard. Like, who's my favorite fireman? And then I was thinking, like, I don't watch Chicago Fire. I don't watch those shows, those procedurals. It doesn't come up.
Yep.
I'm like, Backdraft? And I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, what?
Kurt Russell, you know? Yes.
Oh. Kurt Russell again. No, but when I was looking for famous firefighters, literally something popped up and I was like, oh, no, yes, I remember. So my third pick is Barbecue. From G.I. Joe.
Oh, yes.
Barbecue was the fireman action figure in G.I. Joe. But because G.I. Joe was an 80s toy line, it had a half-hour long commercial called a cartoon that went along with it. And they also had Marvel Comics as well. So that's what they did then. If you ever watch Toys That Made Us, this is a recurring thing that they used to do. They make a toy. Then they hire a comic company and an animation studio to make a show and comic book of the toy.
To sell that toy. Yeah, yeah.
To sell that toy. Yeah. Now, G.I. Joe did start way before as the big doll. And we know a lot of people think that's the better one. I get it. Those are the young boomers and the old Xers. But I'm a later Xer. So to me, G.I. Joe is the action figure size guys and will always be the action figure size guy. Your weird furry Barbie doll is not a G.I. Joe in my mind. I'm sorry.
I'm with you.
You know, you can change his clothes. I don't care. I can buy some. If I want different clothes, I'll buy a different guy. So, you know, I want Shipwreck. I want Barbecue. I want, you know, I had tons of G.I. Joes. So, but when I saw, I was like, oh yeah, Barbecue. And then I immediately remembered, oh yeah, Barbecue was one of my favorites because he's from Boston grew up in New England. And his real name is Gabriel Kelly. And he's from the Boston Fire Department family. He's like seventh generation. It's like the Boston Fire Department's been around for that long? I guess so, probably.
Probably.
But it's funny to me is that I was like, he must have had a Boston accent in the cartoon. So I went and looked, and thankfully, you know, they have those PSAs that famously got made fun of, but you can see the original PSAs.
Yeah.
And all the fire-related ones, because it was for kids, you know, Stop, Drop, and Roll and all that stuff was really big in the 80s. So all the fire-related ones had Barbecue in them. And so I watched a couple of those, and sure enough, he shows up, and he's... The funny thing is, though, technically he has the wrong accent. He kind of sounds like either a Kennedy or like a lobster fisherman.
I do remember the Kennedy voice, absolutely, yeah.
whereas he should really sound like Bill Burr. That's what a Boston fireman should sound like. You know, like, hey, kids, get out of here, you know. But he's like all like, he has that long, like, you kids have to really be careful around fire, you know. It's like that. if the doorknob's hot, there's fire on the other side. You know, it's like, and I'm sitting there going like, really? Ask not what the fire can do for you. Ask what you can do for the fire. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. 2 points. One, I love this pick, but you did make me realize, do I really want to trust a fireman that has the nickname barbecue? Because that sounds like he has more failures than he has successes. But I'm on board.
He's got the coolest outfit. He's like got this cool kind of like sci-fi looking fireman outfit. And his main weapon is an axe, like this awesome looking axe.
Oh, that's perfect in the apocalypse.
And then he has a backpack with, I assume it's probably fire foam or whatever in it. And a little thing she can spray it. So, yeah, he's ready to go. He's G.I. Joe trained, military trained. And this one part in his bio says barbecue is known off duty as a party animal, and I'm like that's so Boston fireman. It's hilarious to me.
Or Michelangelo Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. So
oh my goodness gracious.
But that's perfect. He is a G.I. Joe, so he already knows what's going on, and knowing is half the battle, which we already learned. So but you brought up those PSAs. What's funny is I'm a little bit younger, so I didn't really, I wasn't part of the first wave of G.I. Joe craze, but I definitely got into G.I. Joe because of the PSAs they make fun of, where they like, they add in different voices.
Yes.
And it's like, hey, you kids, what are you doing? Barbecue sauce. Yeah. You know, like, those are
body massage.
Body massage.
Who wants a body massage?
Those PSAs, that's internet gold right there. So that's always a pick-me-up, is those silly little comedic PSAs.
And that's early internet. That was like when video first started showing up on the internet for use other than, well, you know. That's like back in the e-bombs world days
and
stuff. Like early days of the internet, kids.
Pork chop sandwiches,
Or it's like where Red versus Blue came out of, and all these really early internet memes and stuff. That was one of the first video ones I remember. So,
hey, just adds to it, because G.I. Joe has always been awesome, and it keeps having a resurgence because it continues to be awesome.
And barbecue isn't one of those ones. Barbecue's in the ones where the kids do touch the doorknob and he comes through the window, and because he looks like a spaceman, it's going like roll, 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 roll. And then he like beams them up or whatever. He like basically abducts them. Funny.
Hey, if barbecue can have abducting powers in the apocalypse, that'll come in handy. He can show up in people's windows. That's great. Oh, barbecue. That's an excellent, excellent third pick. I love it. But that means it's my turn. So second picks, here we go. Mine's a little silly, obviously, because it's, you know, it's Mikey picks. But speaking of comfort food, speaking of movies that just make you feel good, this comes from a group that we've already talked about, a duo that we love on this podcast. But my second pick is Nicholas Angel, who is a police officer. You may know him as his human name of Simon Pegg from Hot Fuzz.
So
we've talked about Hot Fuzz. We've talked about Shaun of the Dead, all those movies, End of the World. They're nerds making nerd movies, and I love both of them, and I will watch everything they put out. But specifically, Nicholas Angel from Hot Fuzz. The reason I picked him for the apocalypse is he's a detective sort of put out of his element. He's transferred to a small, quaint English town, you know, that doesn't have much going on, and then suddenly there's a serial killer. So it's like the end of the world in terms of this small town. But if you were to scale it up, I think he'd still deliver. It's Simon Pegg. He's the nerd's nerd. He's been in Star Trek. He's been in space. He's been all over the place. So
he's been in Star Wars too.
He is in a Star Wars. He's in Mission Impossible. There's nothing Simon Pegg can't do.
Yeah, I mean I always think about that type of thing. How is that just like an awesome agent? Some people seem to have super awesome agents because he seems to get, and he's like, he does his own things, which is great, like the Shaun of the Dead and all that stuff. But then at the same time, it's like, hey, I love these things and I want to be in these things. And he is in the things.
He is. Yeah. There's an aspect, this is pure speculation, but there is an aspect where you have the nerd that's just down for anything and is supportive and friendly and like just loves hanging out and being part of the process. Those type of people that are just happy to be there and bring up everybody that's around him. He seems like one of those type of actors. So
okay. That's probably where it comes from. It's interesting because I've been thinking about agents lately because I literally just read a thing about Michael J. Fox when they're casting for Family Ties.
Okay.
They really didn't want him, but his agent kept pressing them.
Okay.
Like kept saying, like, no, he's the best for this role. And I'm like, really, an agent? Because usually it's, you know, we listen to a lot of podcasts. We hear stories from, like, these comedians who are actors and they have agents. And it seems like basically you get a lot of, like, yeah, you're just not right for it. And that's the end.
Mm-hmm.
But whoever Michael J. Fox's agent was like going to Matt for him like crazy. And it got to the point where they said, we don't think he's the kind of person who's going to end up on a lunchbox. And then, of course, they went ahead and gave him a shot. And then, sure enough, he was the biggest thing on Family Ties, Back to the Future. And he's been on multiple lunchboxes. And I guess the first lunchbox he was on, they sent it to the head of NBC. And when he had signed it, and he put on there, they told me I should put some crow in this, but I just want to tell you I love you,
oh,
Michael J. Fox.
That's such a boss move. That's great. Yeah, you're not going to end up on a lunchbox. And he's like, well, turns out I did, so here it is. I'm not going to stuff it with a vulgar statement, but you get the impression. Oh, I love it.
I know, right? Wow. So anyway.
Well, that's why I picked Michael J. Fox for one of my jocks, so, and one of my nerds. I picked him twice. Oh, apparently this is now the Michael J. Fox podcast. We stand Michael J. Fox. But we also stand Simon Pegg. And really the main facet that I want, he is a cop, so he is a first responder. He knows how to show up on the scene. But more importantly, he has the skill that he knows how to fire two guns whilst jumping through the air.
That is key. Yes, that is key.
But also, this is a shout out. Go watch Hot Fuzz again, because there's so many faces that are from other properties that you don't remember. We're talking about comfort food again. This is another one of those. We got the Hound from Game of Thrones. He's in that movie. Martin Freeman, we've talked about him in this Build-A-Crew. He's in that movie. Bill Nighy, he's come up numerous times in our past Build-A-Crews, but so many cool people in this movie. It's great.
Not to be confused with Bill Nye.
No, not Bill Nye the science guy. It's Bill Nighy the science guy. Sorry.
All right, that's a good number two pick. My number two pick is also a cop.
Ooh, nice.
So again, like I said, favorite firefighter. Who's my favorite fictional police officer? So I started going through, and so many came up. But again, I didn't watch a lot of stuff from the olden days, because when you're a kid, that's when you're watching more police related stuff, because a lot of little boys are like, I want to be a policeman.
I want to be a firefighter. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to be a firefighter.
So at first I was thinking Columbo, but Columbo's not a first responder. He's a detective. But in my mind, Columbo is one of the best cops ever. But he's a detective. He shows up later. He doesn't show up first.
Yeah.
He shows up later saying, excuse me. And telling you it's a kissing book. Then my brain started slamming down on me. And I was, and for some reason, I'm like, T.J. Hooker? No, not T.J. Hooker.
He falls more in the detective line too, though, right?
No. He was William Shatner wanted to, like, even though he was in his 50s at that point, I think, he wanted to be sliding across the hoods of cars and stuff. So he was the sergeant who was... I think they made it like a training. Why do I know this? I think my mom used to watch it. Speaking of, I think it was like a supposed to be like a training unit.
Okay.
He was one of whatever. Anyway, I'm not picking him because that's ridiculous. Well, I'm picking something equally as ridiculous, but this guy was one of the coolest guys to me ever. This is a show that I think I watched mainly in reruns because I think it might have been over by the time. I kind of overlapped a little bit, but I was too little. I'm picking Frank Ponch Poncherello from Chips, played by Eric Estrada.
The California Highway Patrol.
Yes. And this is all just nostalgia bomb. And like, first of all, both the guys, Ponch and John, were posited as the most 70s coolest guys ever, you know. One was dark and one was light, you know what I mean?
But they both had great haircuts, yeah.
Yes, you know, so it was just, they were the coolest ever. They wearing their way too tight shirts, you know, uniform shirts,
yep,
riding on motorcycles all yep around, taking care of bad guys and uncovering plots. Oh, it's the best. Always getting the ladies in their off time. They're like sailing and out in the water with, you know, with beautiful girls.
There
and,
you go.
You know, riding around on dirt bikes and stuff. They're like the coolest ever.
I think there, you can probably verify this with the internet, but I think there was a resurgence in people that signed up to be part of the CHIPS program because of that TV show.
Yeah, 100%.
Based on how cool they were.
100%. They were the coolest. So, and of Ponch and John, Eric Estrada's Ponch is the cooler one because he's the one with more of a troubled background. He's the one who was always in trouble at school, always in the principal's office. The only thing that kept him from getting kicked out of the school is that he was a star basketball player.
Oh, there you go.
But when you first meet him, he's literally getting pulled over by John for riding around on a dirt bike without a helmet. Oh,
oh,
you know, danger.
Scandalous.
But it's one of those funny things where he's like, you're a pretty good rider. You should try out for the, you know, highway patrol. And he's like, yeah, whatever. I don't think that's for me. And he's like, you should think about it. You know, and then, of course, something happens where he's like, I'm going to think about it. And then, of course, he gets it. And then he gets partnered with the guy who pulled him over because television, right?
That's such a weird setup. Oh, you're breaking the law and I'm pulling you over for a violation. But hey, you broke the law so spectacularly that I want you to be part of my team. Hilarious.
I know. It's so 70s. It's great. I love it. This isn't really stop down for me if I see it in like on MeTV or reruns or something, because mm-hmm. the show's not really very good.
I believe it.
It's so 70s and stuff. But if you want to see like 70s styles and just the goofiness, the thing is, it does have some humor in it. So that's intentional humor, which can be funny. And then there's less of unintentional humor. So kind of if you kind of watch it
mm-hmm.
as like what, because they did that remake, right? Which I don't think was very well received. That was.
Yeah, they tried to reboot it, but I think it only lasted for like a season or two.
Yeah, and it was supposed to be like a comedy thing.
Yeah, buddy cop kind of stuff.
Yeah, so those elements are there. But I mean, this is such a classic 70s, 80s freeze frame while laughing at the end of the show type show.
Yep.
You know? But. Man, that theme song, though, how can you know? I mean, I don't know how many times as an 80s kid, and hopefully my 80s buddies can back me up, when you're riding your bicycle around the neighborhood, you know, you're sitting there going, nah, 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 nah. You know, riding your bike around the neighborhood. Anyway, it's really funny because in doing research on this, he's such a thin character. It's just basically like, he had a trouble pass. He's like the maverick hothead cop
mm-hmm.
compared to John's by-the-book cop.
Yep.
So this is the classic buddy cop thing.
Yeah.
And the funniest thing was I found on, I think it's on Fandom or something, it has his likes and dislikes.
What?
And
it's okay.
It seems like a character sheet that some like kid in junior high put together for us. So likes, ding-dongs.
Yep.
Women.
Of course.
Sports.
Oh, of course.
Dislikes. Writing reports.
Oh, paperwork. Boo.
And then hobbies. Dirt bike racing. Appropriate. Basketball, of course. And yep. then, this is so 70s, racquetball.
Racquetball? Who? No. You play basketball, Ponch. Come on. You don't need racquetball in the off time.
I think it's because racquetball was hot.
Oh,
back
true.
In the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
I think racquetball was like, the hip young guys are playing racquetball. We need to have a scene where he's playing racquetball.
I do love the fact that really his only dislike is paperwork, though. That is amazingly on brand. But no, Ponch is great. I remember Chips, but Chips was kind of ruined for me again because of the internet, but... The internet brought to my attention the outtakes of Chips that showed them riding on their motorcycles, But then they start laughing and they let go of their motorcycles.
Because they're on a trailer.
Yeah, they're on a trailer. And I was like, what? They're not really right. Oh, it totally broke the illusion. It's cool to see those bloopers. But I was like, oh, they're not even actual highway patrol. They're just tag-alongs.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I know. But movie magic.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, not movie, well, Hollywood magic, really. It's television, but it's Hollywood magic.
And it's Ponch. He solves a problem in 30 minutes or less every time. I don't remember any episode of Chips where the bad guy ended up getting away.
So. No, that's why they're always laughing at freeze frame at the end.
Yeah, because they do their job, and they have fun while they're doing it.
Exactly. And I think he'd be better than John in an apocalypse because of his troubled past. He kind of grew up on the streets a little more than John did. So
true. And I think they give Ponch more of the punchlines and the jokes in that show anyway. So
yes,
absolutely. Yeah. More fun to hang out with.
Right. And it was Eric Estrada at the height of his handsome powers.
And his handsome powers are so strong that he keeps coming back up in pop culture. Like, there's been a resurgence of Eric Estrada, I think, every decade. Just be like, hey, remember him in Chips? Here he is again. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, great second pick, Eric Estrada. Now I got to go watch some episodes of Chips. That sounds like great comfort food.
Maybe. Like I said, I've come across him and I'm like, you know, the thing is, you know what I really noticed about it?
Yep.
Is that the pace of it is so slow compared to what we've become used to.
I got
like,
you.
You're sitting there going like, edit. Like, they're literally like, I'm going to move. He's like, I'm going to move my motorcycle over there. And they will show him just drive the motorcycle the whole way over there in a wide shot.
Oh, unnecessary.
You know, versus just cutting to him parking it, you know?
It's like, let's get to the bad guy already. Let's go. Come on. Chop, chop. That's hilarious. But Eric Estrada, I am totally on board. Thumbs up on that all the way. But we are down to our final moments. We are down to our official picks, our number one picks.
Who we will have in our bunker. Mikey picked Baymax. No, you can't. You picked it before.
I did pick it before. Oh, if I could have a robot in the apocalypse that was a fluffy marshmallow, I would take that every day of the week. Absolutely. That still maybe kind of counts as a superhero. I don't
know. Yeah, it's a superhero.
But I went with a human being. And I did go with a human being that's extraordinary, and that's one of my favorite human beings, and that's Luis Guzman, playing the character of Jesse Salander from the show Code Black.
Code Black. I don't know anything about this show, Mikey.
Okay, well then here it comes. Code Black is essentially just ER. Do you remember the show ER?
Yeah, that was a phenomenon.
Okay, so they tried to recreate that for a new generation about 10 years later. And so they made Code Black. It's essentially just ER2. ER also.
Don't they always do that, though? Isn't that what that Chicago Med is or whatever that one is out now?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them. And like we were saying earlier, I don't think either of us are too big of a fans of most of the procedural shows like Chicago Fire or Rescue Me or the CSI or SVU. Yeah, we're both out on most of those.
I think most nerds aren't. It seems like that's like normal people shows, right?
Yeah.
Is that what normal people watch?
I guess so. Basic cable sort of, this is on your Friday. Here you go. Sit down and watch it. But I am a sucker for the medical aspect of it. So me and my mom watched every episode of ER. And so Code Black came on and I was like, oh, this is ER again. So I told my mom about it. And so we watched every episode of Code Black. But the reason I watched all the episodes of Code Black is because of Luis Guzman. He plays a character. His name is Jesse Salander, but in the show, they refer to him as Mama. I mean, as a dude, but they call him Mother. Because he is essentially the head nurse for, it's a fictional hospital in the show, but it's Angels Memorial. He's in charge of the whole ER. Like, if something comes in, if something goes out, he knows about it. He's in charge of rerouting everything. He's in charge of keeping people sane, but it's based on, I think it's one of those instances where it's based on Luis Guzman as a person, because he's really no nonsense. He cracks a few jokes, but he doesn't sugarcoat anything. He's like, hey, here's what's going on. Here's the deal. Here's what you need to do. I love you, but you know, get in there and do it, even though you hate it. So,
wow. I totally meant, what, do you know what years this show was on?
It's a recent show. I want to say maybe 2012, 14. I'd have to Google search it to get the exact date.
Oh, it's that new?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's within the last 5 or 10 years.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And it, like I'm saying, if you're a fan of ER and you missed it, absolutely go back because it fits into that wheelhouse. but it is a newer show. It is a modern show. I think it got canceled recently because of everything that's going on. So there's only a couple seasons, but absolutely worth your time.
Interesting. I totally missed that one because they do these shows all the time. Mm-hmm. Like ER was, even before ER, there was other ones, but ER was such a big hit that the next one I knew after that was Grey's Anatomy, which was like ER for girls.
ER with romance.
Yeah. And I couldn't hang with that. I mean, sorry,
I'm with
everybody,
you.
But yep. McDreamy, I mean, come on, seriously.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. But with Code Black, for the show in general, not only do you have Luis Guzman, he's the sort of second protagonist to the first protagonist, which is Marcia Gay Harden.
Yes.
Who is, both of them are, they're never really A-list as far as movies or TV go. But if you go onto their IMDb pages, there's hundreds of credits for both of them because they're just solid character actors. The people we love as nerds on this podcast, you ask them to show up and they perform 100%. I just wanted to bring up Marcia Gay Harden because she was the crazy religious lady in Stephen King's The Mist. And I will never forget that role or that movie. Oh, crazy.
Yeah, man. I mean, Luis Guzman is, if you go to the IMDb, which I'm doing it right now, it's like, what has he not been in? And that face is so just, you know, that face. If you don't know who Luis Guzman is, look it up and you'll be like, oh, that guy.
Yeah, yeah. But
I've seen him in a million things.
He definitely does have that face, but I'll go a little bit deeper. He has the two faces. He has the wholesome, warming smile that lets you know that everything's okay. But he also has the lowered eyebrows, like frowny, I'm going to give you the truth. And here's the breakdown of how we're kind of screwed in this situation. We're going to make it better, but here's the honest truth. And so I think that's what you need in the apocalypse. You need a Luis Guzman being like, well, yes, there's zombies and there's robots, but also there's ice cream across the street. So,
so I mean, this guy was in Crocodile Dundee too. Which you'd be like, haha. But then at the same time, and I remember he was great in Boogie Nights.
Oh, he's one of the stars of Boogie Nights.
Exactly. So, I mean, wow. He has the kind of career that as an actor you want. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Or going back to maybe just going back to our earlier conversation, he has a really great agent. But I also like to think it's just Luis Guzman as a person is awesome. So it's easy to promote awesome people.
Yes, I'm sure it is. People who get that much work usually are easy to work with. So I would agree. All right. Wow. I'm going to have to check that out. That seems like a stellar cast, which is kind of why like ER worked so well. ER had so mm-hmm. many people who became, I mean, George Clooney was in it, right?
Yep.
So that's so much different than some of the other procedural and medical, all those kind of shows that are on TV. I'm not, no offense to the actors in it. You're doing a great job, but sometimes you just hit this talent pool that elevates a show. So,
well, and then one random trivia point, ER was also executive produced by Michael Crichton.
Yeah.
Author of all the books you love, Jurassic Park, Sphere, Congo.
Yeah.
So he decided to make a medical show and you're like, okay, I get it. This is well thought out and well written. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, check out Code Black. It's worth your time. It's good. If you're an ER fan, you are automatically a Code Black fan. You just have to go check it out.
So, speaking of well thought out and well written,
yeah,
my third choice isn't.
Oh.
Well, my first choice, technically. This is my third choice, but it's my number one. So, I was like, okay, so I picked a fireman, I picked a police officer. Now I want like an EMT paramedic type. And I'm like, geez, I can't really think of anyone at all. And so I was racking my brain. I was like, you need someone who's good at CPR, first on the scene. And so I'm just Googling, searching, and for some reason I come across the wonderful show Baywatch.
Baywatch, cue slow-mo
running.
And
then I'm like, oh, wait, those are all, they all do CPR, and they're EMTs. They are. They're literally EMTs.
Yep.
But they're just beach EMTs. And then I was like, I can't pick anyone from Baywatch. They're just a bunch of pretty, and then I'm like, wait a minute, no. There is someone who is very capable on Baywatch.
There you go.
And who wasn't David Hasselhoff. Now, David Hasselhoff was very capable on Baywatch because he was the main character and you don't hassle the Hoff. But there was a number two. She wasn't there for the whole time, but probably the most serious character who just wasn't totally there for eye candy,
uh-huh.
even though she is very beautiful, But I picked the character of Stephanie Holden from Baywatch, played by Alexandra Paul.
Yeah.
And did you ever watch Baywatch, Mikey?
It was absolutely part of my like pop culture consciousness. Yes.
Okay. So Stephanie Holden was the character who was the second in command for a few seasons. Baywatch was on forever.
Ever.
Like 11 seasons or something stupid like that. But there was like a heart of Baywatch. There was a time where it was at its peak. And when it was at its peak, Alexandra Paul was on the show as Stephanie Holden. That was the same time you had Pamela Anderson on the show. You had Nicole Eggert on the show.
Oh, okay.
That was the within like season 2, 3, 4 and 5, something like that. Somewhere in there, it was like the thing. Those were like the seasons where like they were doing crossovers with like MTV and stuff. like ridiculous things. But yep. Now I'm not sitting here saying Baywatch is a good show. It's ridiculous. It's a total eye candy show. It's goofy. It's pixie sticks.
Yeah. They had like a minute long just intro just to show everybody running. Be like, here's all the beautiful people we hired. Check them out. Pow, 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 pow. Slow-mo.
I know. It's not good. But as a character, though, Stephanie Holden is perfectly capable and would be great to have in a bunker situation with you. Because she's the it's so funny because it's like Alexandra Paul is an actress and a model. She's beautiful, mm-hmm. but she's not like just spilling out of her swimsuit. So they're like, oh, so she's the bookish, serious one who's like the boss.
I get you.
And as such, she knows how to do everything better than everyone else. So who else would you want on your team then? She's the best. So everyone in Baywatch is supposed to be is super capable because that's the kind of show it is. The plot demands it. Whether you're like 20-0 and haven't accomplished anything, and why does this character know how to do all this stuff? They just do because the writers said that they do.
The plot demands it. Yeah,
she's supposed to be older. She's supposed to be older. She's older. She's listed as 26. So
okay.
Yeah, she's the old lady on the crew at 26.
The old crone. Yeah. At 26, that's hilarious.
I know. It's so crazy. But she's supposed to be the strongest swimmer, the strongest diver of them all. They all know how to use all the different vehicles. They have the Baywatch Jeeps. They have quad bikes. They have even though, like the scare boats that they use in like the special forces.
Yeah, yeah.
And jet skis. So, I mean, she can drive pretty much anything. So that's helpful. Her ability to perform CPR and first aid, it's like first class. She's the best one. She's like the trainer in a lot of ways. So she knows what she's doing. So, I mean, come on. You got this very fit young woman who knows her way around a medical kit. And at the same time, there's been instances where she has to fight. And this is so funny. Depending on the episode, she's either really good at it or really bad at it. Depending what the plot demands.
Oh, they didn't keep it consistent. They didn't observe power creep. Oh.
It's not consistent at all. It's funny. In my research, I found it says her fighting skills range from non-existent to very skilled.
That's great.
So I'm going to read this to you. I just stole this from the internet because it's funny to me. In season 5, she's easily defeated, knocked unconscious, and taken hostage by a smaller female eco-terrorist.
Oh no, Greenpeace is at it again.
Yeah. But in the next season, she single-handedly defeats a villain in unarmed combat, showing considerable combat skills. And this is a man this time, like a man.
Well, so I'm going to give her narrative credit. She learned her lesson the first time, and then she went to like self-defense classes. And
yeah.
The second time, she was well-prepared.
She took some Muay Thai or something, I guess. Oh my goodness. It was so funny to me and just doing the research on this because, I mean, I watched Baywatch. It was on in the 90s again while I was in college. Yep. So, I mean,
it was primetime TV forever.
It was primetime. And what do you expect from me? Come on. I'm going to make no excuses at all.
There you go. I'm glad you didn't cop out and pick David Hasselhoff because that would be almost cheating because you really can't hassle the Hoff. So,
no, yes. But yeah, so David Hasselhoff is so cheesy, though. I'm being stuck in a bunker with that guy. Oh, come on, man. Nope,
no, thank you. Unless you have cheeseburgers, then it's okay. But Oh, I got you. Okay. Awesome.
So anyway, if you're gonna press me to take EMT or a paramedic, I needed the healing powers. I needed the healing skills.
Yep.
And you got to have some fighting skills. So if the plot needs it, that she has plot power,
there
basically.
Yeah.
If the writer demands she be able to fight these zombies off, then she will be able to fight these zombies off.
And worst case scenario, she has the narrative protection that she is a lifeguard. She can tread water for like 4 hours at a time. So if zombies come after her, she can just go into the ocean and just hang out for a little bit and wait the zombies out.
Exactly. So she's the most capable. I know there's some fellows out there like, why aren't you picking Pamela Anderson's character? Why aren't you, I get it. I understand. And my choice over Pamela Anderson would be the Nicole Eggert character. But come on, she's 21 and is supposed to be a rookie. And I'm looking for the best.
Yeah.
The best on Baywatch of the ladies there is definitely Stephanie Holden. So
I'm with you. Plus, Pamela Anderson's already, she's not applicable because she becomes barbed wire and becomes a superhero. So she's not a valid pick.
I also don't want Borat breaking into my bunker. So.
Very nice.
Let us in.
Oh, but that's first picks. That's great. Baywatch and Luis Guzman. I'm pretty sure Luis Guzman could be on Baywatch, but only as like the Coast Guard that checks on the beach every once in a while. I don't see him in the slow-mo running montage in the beginning, but I could see him definitely hanging out.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was on an episode of Baywatch. I would not be surprised in the least.
He probably shows up as like, hey, I saw a body in the water. It's over there.
Exactly.
Thanks, Louise. We'll go solve
this. They're always using those character actors for that kind of stuff.
And he's one of the best. Oh,
yeah.
Thumbs up for both our picks. I'm proud of both of us.
But yeah, that's the, again, and I'm just going to defend myself one more time. I know that show is dumb. That's a dumb show.
But if you know that going in, then you can just enjoy yourself. Your expectations are at bare minimum. It's a good time.
You know what's funny too, though? If it's on and your 14-year-old boys are in the house and you're like, check this show out. And they're like, what is happening right now? Because they don't do stuff like that anymore. Shows like that don't exist anymore.
Oh, that's an artifact of the 90s for sure. Yeah.
So they're like, what is happening right now? Why are they sitting like that? I'm not going to explain that any further, but...
Yeah, just pay attention to something that captivated entire audiences throughout most of the 90s for no reason other than this.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's great.
Hasselhoff singing the song, too. Oh, my gosh. Oh, gosh. I respect him. I respect that guy so much for being able to be who he is.
Yes.
And being successful. Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you, Germany.
Hey, for all of his Baywatchness, he has all the Knight Riderness, so it does sort of equal out.
It's true. You're right. I agree. All right. So those are our choices. Now, to recap, you can go listen to all our other choices on previous podcasts, but we're going to tell you what they are now. So for my list... for my grizzled vet, I had picked Lee Marvin in anything that was military. For my gang member, I picked Tommy Vercetti from the GTA Vice City game. For my office worker, I picked Ron Swanson.
Yeah.
For my nerd, I picked MacGyver. For my jock, I picked Jed Eckhart, who was Swayze's character in Red Dawn. And for my mechanic, I picked Ellie from Borderlands. And for my first responder, I picked Stephanie Holden from Baywatch.
Oh, I'm looking forward.
I'll be ready.
I'm looking forward to that Photoshop, and also I'm probably going to go listen to that theme song because you got it stuck in my head. But to tit for tat, my picks for my zombie builder crew is: I picked Kurt Russell from Stargate as my military vet. I picked Billy Butcher from The Boys. Go watch that show; it's amazing. Season 2 just wrapped up for my gang member. Office worker, we had the same. Nick Offerman was our pick for number one, an overlap for the first time. Nerd, I kind of copped out and picked Indiana Jones. Jock, I picked Andre the Giant, mechanic Michelle Rodriguez from the Fast and the Furious series as the coolest female ever, and she can fix anything. And then first responder is Luis Guzman as Mama from Code Black. Go watch that show.
Yes. So those are great picks to eat a pizza by, because our pizza is here, hot, fresh, and ready.
Smells delicious.
So while we enjoy our pizza, we want you guys to head over to the social medias and tell us who you guys want as your first responder. Go ahead. Make fun of me for watching Baywatch and Dr. Quinn in the 90s. I don't care. It was the 90s. I was a kid. Leave me alone.
Yep.
You can hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at AssumingPod. You can also Gmail us by sending us a letter, assumingpositions@gmail.com. Last time we told you to do it in the style of Ken Burns. this time we'd like you to do it in the style of someone writing to their sweetheart in World War II instead of the Civil War. So we're looking for don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me type stuff.
Don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me. Oh.
We want to thank you guys so much for listening. Please, please, please continue to share this with your friends. I know there's tons of podcasts out there to listen to, and some of them have really famous people in them, but some of them just have plucky guys in Dallas like us. So if you want to support some local guys, some guys who are just trying to do something fun,
yes,
then let your friends know. We know Conan's great. We know Joe Rogan's great. Ha. But come on. It's only like a half hour, 45 minutes. Check us out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for doing that. We also want to thank That Guy Brad for doing our announcing, Not Scott Productions for equipment, Jazzar for music, and we hope you guys have a terrific week. We will be back next week with something else fun.
And we solved the apocalypse. Hooray!
Hooray! Stay away from our bunker! Especially you, Borat.
Very nice. Oh, I got you. Okay. Awesome.
Oh, man. Oh, that was kind of a shot right there.
An abstract shot, though. Only the people that know about it will get it. It's awesome.
I know, but wow. Mikey with the fire.
Pow, pow, pow.